I think that you know, these virtues have been in partiality, but they're coming into full manifestation now. You know, you take now and you say now as far along as we are that Brother Branham was wrong here and right here and all these things, and he'd said this wrong or whatever. There's no excuse for that. See, there was an excuse for Luther, if you say excuse. Luther had a knowledge. But now remember, his knowledge only took him so far in the Word, the just shall live by faith. But he was a Trinitarian. He was a Catholic. But he baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, God winked at that ignorance of the man, but he had enough little bit of knowledge, just a little bit of knowledge to say the just shall live by faith, and God built his church on that. Then Wesley, and then Pentecost, and now we're coming into the full manifestation of the Word. We can't be saying that the prophet of the hour just brought part of the Word. That's what I said, you know, Wednesday night. I want to be able to know what Brother Branham said after 1965. And like Brother Joe Canada, he came in, he said, you know what? He said, I want to know what Jesus said after his ascension. Yeah. Same thing. Because before his ascension, you get Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptisms, you get all kind of isms and schisms. Even when he was here, God in human flesh walking around, they called him all kind of things. They said his doctrine was wrong. They said this, just like they did Brother Branham. But after the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost, when Peter walks up, what is the first thing Peter does? Say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to know what Brother Branham said after 65 and what Jesus said after his ascension. Because that, to me, is the perfection of a perfect man, is knowing we have been given a message, but take that message and then apply it in its pure form, not partial, in its pure form, in the end time. That's why Brother Branham said we had to have the full restoration of the Word, because they had pieces here and pieces here. But that knowledge in the statue of a perfect man, that knowledge now, to get us to the capstone revelation, has got to be the perfect knowledge of God. It has to be the absolute mind of God. Because Paul said we have the mind of Christ. And like we were preaching Wednesday night, if you have the mind of Christ, you are able to understand what he said. Because if you got his mind... But what Brother Branham was talking about, he said, we put our own creeds into it. What? We bring our own knowledge in. We bring our own thoughts and ideas. And that's what they're doing in the message now. They're bringing their own thoughts in. Sure, they've got quotes. Jesus had quotes. Remember? You remember Nicodemus and Gamaliel? They were conversing. And remember Gamaliel, or one of them said, well, you know, wasn't there a guy come out here and led 100 and something in the desert, or 70 or 80 or whatever, how many amount it was. Didn't he come by and said he was a Messiah and he led these people out in the desert? And Gamaliel, or one of them, said, hey, if it be of God, it'll approve itself. In other words, if it's not of God, it'll be just like that. Well, see, they're showing that there was people. I've always said there's many Jesuses during Jesus' time. There wasn't just one man named Jesus. But there was only one man named Jesus Christ. All right, because he was born Lord to Christ. There was his identification. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now probably John knew a bunch of Jesuses, but there's no way he could say that about that person, because that person was truly identified. Remember what they told John? John, whoever you see the Spirit fall upon and remain. John being a prophet, he could see the Spirit fall on people, prophesy like Caiaphas, and then the Spirit leave him. Well, he knew that wasn't a Messiah, right? But when that Spirit came on that River Jordan and it remained, and John saw the manifestation of what was going on, he said, there's the one. That's the one that's the Messiah. And his name was Jesus Christ. That identifies him with what we were talking about in that Genesis 1, that Christ in Genesis 1:26 has now come down into a man. And he come to save us, because we can't save ourselves. We had to have a man come save us. All right? But that's where worldly knowledge and people's knowledge of what Brother Branham said. Listen, knowledge of what he said, not a revelation of what he said. All right? Because truly, Every doctrine in this message came out of the message. It didn't come from James Dobson, and they're not quoting these people out here. They're quoting Brother Branham. So that's where the fallacies are coming from. They put in their own idea into one quote or a series of quotes or a set of quotes that they see that it's over on this side. They put their own idea to it. That's not godly knowledge. Brother Brown says, but when you can see that the scripture is not contradictory, well, when you can see the message is not contradictory, all right, that you can say that and can see that by the revelation of God. Now watch what he says. The whole word is wrote in mysteries. The prophet's message is written in mysteries. He was probably the most misunderstood man that ever lived on the face of this earth, besides Jesus Christ, right? I mean, look what they've got. I mean, they're picking his life apart now. So what big deal? He's human. He was a human man. He had human desires. He had wife. He had children. You know, he could have been He could have been a monk and that's what he wanted to do. Remember, he said, God, I want to go up in the mountains, be like Elijah, grow me a beard, and run out and say, thus saith the Lord, and go back in. He said, no, that's not what you were made for. You were made to live among your people. But the whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Only. Not the knowledge of man, because that gets your ideas. But only the knowledge of God can reveal it. And then when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Now look, then add that to your faith. Not per se add it to it first. You got to grow in grace and knowledge. And then somewhere you've got to come to that knowledge. That's why this the knowledge in the statue of a perfect man is not just partial knowledge. Because Luther had partial knowledge and he wasn't adopted. He didn't get up here. He had his for the day. But he wasn't a manifested son of God like we need in the end time. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Oh, you're getting to be a pretty good man right now, see. You're coming up, see, what with? With faith, virtue, then knowledge. See how it's building this man? There's no way. Look at that. You can see there's no way escaping it. This is the way to become to the full stature of Christ. Yes, sir. To judge right, judge whether it's right or wrong to believe God's word. Judge whether it's right or wrong, whether I should serve a creed or serve God. Judge whether it's right or wrong, I should be born again or join a church. Then you beginning, judge right. When the preacher says the days of miracles is past, the Bible says Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. Now which you going to believe? When you say I'll take God, now you don't say that just to say it. Well, I take it just from your heart. But something in you. Something in you, your faith pushes out there. There you are. Your faith says, I know he's the same. Because remember, it's not wrong to, listen to me now, it's not wrong to question God's word. Abraham questioned God's word. He did. He laughed at God, right? He said, me? And Sarah said, me? Here, take Hagar. So there, you know, but you come to the end time now where our faith says, I know he's the same. I've witnessed him the same. There's nothing can take it away from me. I know he's real. Amen. Then add that to your faith. See, to me, knowledge is not just, well, all of a sudden you're just going to get knowledge. That's what I said before. It's got to be a birth. It's got to be something even up through the statue of a perfect man all the way up to divine love. You're going to have to grow in grace and knowledge. You're not going to get it all dumped on you at once. And sometimes, you know, you're preaching to a congregation and you see the eyebrows and they're furrowed. Their eyebrows go down like this, or they start scrambling through their Bible. And like Daddy said about the brother that when Daddy said he'd give $10,000, you know, the new brother, you know, was sitting back there and said, I'll give you $10,000 if you can find where anybody was baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here he goes. But you know what he done? He closed his Bible and laid it down. Because it's not there. Well, see, that was Holy Ghost knowledge talking to somebody with partial knowledge. Knowledge of a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism that he'd never heard anything else before. All right? So we got to come to a knowledge, number one, you do come to a knowledge that you're lost. You come to a knowledge that you're lost. Then you get faith, and that faith, what does it do? It doesn't stop your knowledge. It expands your knowledge. It makes your knowledge greater. All right? Like I told you many times before, when Brother Harris was preaching, and I was looking at predestination, I had some human questions. I wasn't questioning the word. I was questioning how to put it together. And it just like I was watching Brother Harris preach, but all of a sudden it wasn't words on a page, and it wasn't a book popped up, but it was like a book comes up in front of me, and it just starts doing this. Well, when it starts unfolding, it's not like it was written on there and I could read it. It was what? My intelligence. I believe it was the Holy Ghost speaking to me, showing me, and then it was running through my brain, going back through the scriptures, going back through the prophet's message. Well, see, to me, that's Holy Ghost knowledge. When you see that and you can put it in there, and it lays right on top of each other, then you know one thing for sure. Now, it doesn't mean I knew everything about predestination either, but it sure answered the question I had on predestination. And then, you know, Brother Dale preaching on foreknowledge just made it even greater. To me, that's probably one of the greatest mysteries that's been solved. You can agree with me or not if you want to. That's one of the greatest mysteries that's been solved in this church, is bringing the mystery of foreknowledge. Well, you know what? It's been there the whole time. It's been there the whole time. Been laying there the whole time. We've been reading it. We look and we even read. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. We just keep reading right on through that. Then you take somebody that looks and says, hey, those he foreknew, that's got to be first. He did predestinate. So foreknowledge is first. So if you take foreknowledge, I was telling him, Brother Dutchess too, if you take foreknowledge to me satisfies every quote and every scripture that seems in our head, contradictory. I said seems contradictory. It's not contradictory. But there's got to be an answer. Brother Bram said, if you've got a question, got to put a man in the pulpit to give you that answer. All right? Yeah.
To me, the revelation of predestination takes away pride. Because people who feel that they can be
right
here.
That's correct. Right. And there's no, right. They take away all the attributes of God as far as a Savior, a Redeemer, coming here to give His life. They take all that away. So it's just like I've said, if I'm wrong or if Brother Dale's wrong, then, you know, just let us stay that way, because to me, I'd rather know I was lost and that God found me and I responded. It was my choice to respond. I was, you know what I was doing? I was displaying my Godship. I was displaying my Godship, because Brother Brown said God will not go override your free moral agency. Override? God won't override your choice. He's not going to make you do anything. If not, then He's not just. He's not a just God. All right, just like we were talking about Wednesday night. If you hadn't heard Wednesday night service, you need to listen to Wednesday night service. Whether I preached it or not, it was something good that you can sink your teeth into. The only thing I want to ask them, I just want to ask them one thing. I want them to explain to me justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's all I want to ask them. I don't want to go into anything else. Explain to me how you get justified. Explain to me how you get sanctified. Explain to me how you get the Holy Ghost, and you always was eternal. Brother Bram said the unclean spirit goes out at sanctification. Where was that unclean spirit? It was in you. So God won't dwell in unclean. See, the guy, it's just a two-soul message wrapped up in a different package. They're saying you got two natures in there, two souls. And then God, what happens is this one dies and you realize this one always was there. Then where's the salvation issue? I'm sorry. Nope. But anyway, you know what though? It's just like you said, it's a fleshly manifestation. They want to feel good. It's like Trudy said, if you have a partial knowledge of predestination, your head can swell this big. I always was this. God, I never this, and I never was saved on any certain day. And well, you know what? That Genesis 1:26 man never was saved on any certain day. That Genesis 1:26, and I know it shocked some of you because some of you, I saw your face Wednesday night. Genesis 1:26 don't need salvation. That is your salvation. It don't need it. That man never fell. Did he? That man never fell. Christ ever fall? If he fell, then he needed redemption. I don't want to start preaching here. All right, this will be for a later sermon. We'll take it up a little bit in depth. But that Genesis 1:26, that scripture to me, just it satisfies everything. Predestination, foreknowledge, redemption, salvation. Because you have to watch what Brother Branham says. He says, you always was eternal. He's not looking at that person and saying, you always was eternal. Because even in the church age book, he said, it's not the person I'm looking at that was predestinated eternally from God, but the seed or word, or may I say the Genesis 1:26 and 27, man, the theophany of God that you have at the new birth, not at your first birth, at your new birth. It wouldn't be a new birth if you didn't need it. Nicodemus, poor thing, all he had to do was say, I believe the message of the hour. And that seed would have just come right to life. But anyway. But see, that's man's ideas with a bunch of quotes. And Brother Brown does give you quotes. You always was eternal. You never were born on any certain day. Yeah, that Genesis 1:26 man never was. There's not a day in that Genesis 1:26 man's life that he ever said one word to sin. But you did down here. That's why you had to come down here. You bypassed that. We read last time, not this past time, but the time before, who is this Melchizedek? You bypassed that. Now, what's bypass mean? You went around it. You didn't come straight from God theophany form. Jesus came straight from God theophany form because he was always here. He comes here. He comes here, born Lord the Christ. You weren't born Christ. You become Christ. At your new birth. Right? You weren't born Christ. You were born in sin, shaping iniquity. I just like it that way. If I'm wrong, I just like it that way. I'm just leave it alone. I once was and now I ain't. You know, I once was dead and now I'm alive. Because Paul even said we were dead in trespass and sin. Dead. Now, where's something live out of something dead? That's what they're saying. That's what they said out there where I was at. They said that Calvary just brought you to a realization that you always was a son of God.
So they don't have to go through
obviously not. What I think they're trying to do is they're trying to say that, number one, I've heard people say that Brother Branham changed his doctrine of the new birth. He used to teach justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when the third pull came into manifestation, the opening of the word, that brought us to a realization that we didn't need all that we always was eternal and that we had it all the time. But, and that was after the seals. That's what I've always said. They said, well, that was before the seals. Well, after the seals. Well, in 1964, when did he preach? After that one, too. And when did he preach to Future Home? It was in 64, right? It was after the seals. He said, justification. The world goes through justification just like you do. The world goes through sanctification just like you do. He said, thank God. He said, I've come this far, in other words, and I'm still preaching the same three works of grace. Well, now that's 1964 or 65. He's preaching us into the future home and still preaching on justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me explain something real quick, and we'll stop right here. I think we've got enough of knowledge. Everybody kind of knows what's going on with knowledge. But what I feel is they just got it out of order. They just got it out of order. It's just out of order. I think the picture, just like I said, Brother Brown didn't make that illustration just to say something funny. They got the cow, they got the grass, and they got the tree. Now, if you got the cow eating grass under the tree, you're doing great. But if you got the cow eating grass on top of the tree, what their revelation is their revelation is that it all happened at your natural birth. Because it said you come here while always eternal. Now, we take the same quotes, the same scriptures and everything else and apply it after the new birth. Everybody understand that? Because they're just saying the new birth brings you just to a knowledge that you always was. When I look, it does. The new birth brings you to a knowledge that you always were. So as now I'm on this side of the salvation issue, okay, I'm born again, I'm over here, I can look back and see that Genesis 1:26 man and know that that man is what's in me now, and that's where I was. That's my identification. I heard from that theophany, right? I heard from that. And then now I can look back and see, absolutely, I wasn't born on any certain day. I never did begin. I always was eternal. All those quotes come right in line if you say, now I have the new birth, and then this happens to me, and I receive the life of Christ. I've got a stack of quotes this tall. I have been pulling. I just went in and put new birth, and then put in eternal life, and put in free moral agency. And I had like 3,600 quotes, and I read through about half of them, and I printed off the ones that we needed. Brother Brown never changed his view on having a free choice or a free moral agency or free will. He said, you're still on free moral agency today. Well, now you can't change. If you're on free moral agency today, then it's your choice. That does away with their doctrine. Okay. But remember, without Holy Ghost knowledge, you'll make Brother Branham say, it's all right to have polygamy. It's you got two souls. You got seven thunders of the virtues of God. You've got parousia. Everything comes out of from 47 to 65. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what does that make you do? Sit down on your duff and not do nothing. Right? That's why their kids are out in the world. That's why they live worldly lives. That's why things happen in our life if we get dilatory. Our life too. We're not immune from a little bit of it. But when we do come to the knowledge of God, that what he said in that message, that these virtues are required. So it's a requirement for us to get this up to even where the apostles were. And for this capstone to come down on us, you must have Holy Ghost knowledge, not man's knowledge. This has nothing to do with man's knowledge. We read it. He said, that's not worldly knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. And you know what? If you don't understand something, just say, I don't understand it. Don't say, I don't believe it. Because you know what? When you say, I don't believe it, that puts a little barrier right there. And you can't get any further than that. Just say, look, I don't understand that to this point. And that's the best thing to do. Because you know what? If you have a desire that you know at this point you're not understanding, if you have that desire, God will put a man in the pulpit. He'll explain that answer. He'll answer that question. And then what you'll do is you'll move on to something else. Add to your. Let's go.